would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically delighted husband, and I'm sure you want to know. I did a quick look at my YouTube account and found that there was a whole bunch of traffic, or a whole bunch of, I showed up in searches. And I thought, okay, what am I showing searches for? Because, you know, I have searched for some of my videos, including by putting the whole title in, they don't show up. But apparently I'm showing up now in the last week or so, whatever it was, on pronounce whatever in Greek. and most of them, because the word, I see the query, and the word is not a word I've used, so it wasn't there. But I found that just so fascinating. When that was funny. I did do a hike today. Hey, I went to the farmer's market today. And there's only one guy that shows up early before the official opening in June. But he's there Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday in the parking lot. Except today. And so today I walked there. You know, so it's kind of like I just did a 4-mile round trip and got nothing. You know? But one of the things it did show is I did it at good, it was only an hour. So I did it at good speed. I haven't had the impact, the lightning flashes. I did one of the things I wondered about. It may be going away, which is obviously something I desire, because otherwise it's an indication of a rather serious problem. So I am pleased for that, and Lord willing, it will continue to improve, and the impact will not be there. But two things. One, I was fascinated. I have an interview that I will I'll give you the link for from Al Jazeera. A woman, Noran Alhamdan. You know, my pronunciation may not be the precise, but she is a I think she's Palestinian, I don't know, but she just graduated, I mean, like today or yesterday, whatever, from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. I've actually been there. a friend of mine many years ago, when I got out of the Air Force, I went and visited him. I left the Air Force, I went to visit him. At the time, he was working at the Pentagon. Which was fascinating in itself. So he was working at the Pentagon, and I actually had a tour of a small part of the Pentagon. Again, this was 1978. Spent the night, and we did go to Georgetown University, went to some, I don't remember where we went, but anyway, long time ago. There is a law school there, apparently, and there was a graduation, and our Secretary of State, Blinken, gave the talk, and then as the graduates walked by, they got their diploma, they had the opportunity to shake his hand and shake someone else's hand, I assume was the college president or something of that nature. And this Noran got her diploma, but she did something different. She had draped over her a Palestinian flag. And she spoke to Blinken and refused to shake his hand, and went on and shook him the hands of the other guy. And that caused a stir. That caused a serious stir. And apparently there was some interaction post the ceremony between the two of them. And she gave an interview to Al Jazeera, because obviously Al Jazeera wanted to run with this. But it was fascinating. And so, because she has her 15 minutes of fame, one of the things I noticed, I did look at her. Well, you know, I wanted to find her name because it was initially there, and I wanted to download the video. And I found a copy on Twitter, which had a link to her Twitter account. So I looked at her Twitter account, and she has some things there. And she described herself as what is it? Something, it's basically a feminist. And it brought to mind the idea, okay, she did something, she made a flash, she is articulate. My guess is that in the coming years, unless you know something happens, she is a very good possibility. She will be one of these people who are very much in the forefront on the public stage, because she was extremely articulate. And you know, she just got a master's degree, so she may be going to further education, or she may be going into some form of the legal field or whatever. She may be an advocate or something of that nature. I think she wants to be definitely an advocate. So she will probably, but now the question is, I would suggest, I don't know if you can justify the technique, but the way the U.S. government is in bed, literally in bed, with, you know, Israel, with Ukraine, with others, but Israel and Ukraine intensely, again, Biden and his son have both long, deep, both in financial as well as political relations with Ukraine. This goes back years and years and years. And of course, the relationship in the U.S. and Israel is rather profound. We send them billions of dollars every year. Why? Both cases, why? Why are we sending money to a foreign government? The reality is, I think a lot of it is not really sent to the foreign government. We use it as a front to actually send money to the military-industrial complex, things of that nature. But got to a question, and because of that issue, here we have someone who is trying to make a point. How do we look at this as a follower of Christ? And we looked at two passages today, because again, I will claim we're called to proclaim but not impose. I would suggest that's a very simple summary of what the Lord's commands are to the follower of Christ. We are called to proclaim and not impose. And I think we came up because it's quite clear. I would suggest we can proclaim publicly to the world. But our focus is to proclaim to the elect, the world, the cosmos. I mean, literally. So we looked at two passages that I think. Let's see, what should I do first? well, let's do the Old Testament first. Micah chapter 6, a passage that a lot of people will be familiar with. And I'm going to read the LSV again because you know it's reasonable to read. Because some, like I say, some of the passages, wow. Oh, and you know, just a side point. We looked at a passage a day or two ago in the LSV. It was Corinthians or Romans or some of that nature. And you start at one chapter and you have a whole bunch of verses, then a whole bunch of verses the next chapter. In the LSV, it was like 20 verses, one sentence. Yeah. Which, again, it's because I don't think we think the way people did 1,000 years ago. Again, this goes to the devolution of man. But because, I mean, and you can see when you read it in the ESV or the NIV or the NASB and whatnot, you can see it's broken up into a lot of sentences. When you read it in the LSV, you can see, oh, that is indeed one continuous thought. It's remarkable. But anyway. Micah 6:6, with what do I come before Yahweh? Do I bow down to God Most High? Do I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves, sons of a year? Is Yahweh pleased with thousands of rams, with myriads of streams of oil? Do I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? He has declared to you, O man, what is good indeed. What is Yahweh requiring of you except to do judgment and love kindness and to walk lowly with your God? You know, it's ESV or whatnot, it's humbly, you know, and so forth. But anyway, I thought the wording was Interesting. You know, so again, the whole idea here is, what can we give to God? I mean, nothing. The sacrifices, it's all His in the first place. We can't give Him back anything that's already His. But He commands us to do judgment and love kindness and walk lowly with your God. Okay, to do judgment, and that's what we looked at because it is the idea. I checked into the definitions of the word to make a right decision about things, and we have to be careful. It's not to impose a right decision on things. And when we delved into this and looked at I did look at the Greek, not the Hebrew. I think it's clear. We're called to make a right decision. So where do we see this? Matthew 7, a passage that's very familiar and often twisted. Verse 1, "Do not judge that you may not be judged. For in what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And in what measure you measure, it will be measured to you. And if you do, and why do you behold the speck that is in your brother's eye, and do not consider the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, 'Permit that I may cast out the speck from your eye,' and behold, the beam is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to cast out the speck of your brother's eye." So just that alone, obviously the passage. And then there's the question, does this mean don't judge at all? Or is the idea here, first I got to look at me, and then I am still to judge, because then you'll see clearly to cast out the speck of your brother's eye. So if I am a hypocrite, I'm stealing over here and you're stealing over there, and I say, don't steal over there, but while I'm stealing over here, I got a problem. If I correct my stealing over here, then I can go, I've been doing this, you shouldn't steal either. I stole over here, you stole over here, neither of us should steal. That I would suggest would be consistent with the Matthew 7. But the next verse, which is kind of looks kind of odd. "You may not give that which is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before the pigs, that they may not trample them among their feet, and having turned, may tear you apart." And, you know, a lot, you know, you can say, well, that's kind of disjoint. Or, how does it relate? It relates. It relates very much, especially when you look at the idea that we are called to proclaim and not impose. And our proclamation to the world is kind of secondary. Our proclamation to the elect is primary. So if I go and say, take one of the things I do promote, Social Security is fraud. It is theft. I do think the analogy holds. If I hire a thug to steal your car, does that give you the right to hire that same thug to steal somebody else's car? No. That is Social Security. That's not loosely, that's identical. But I won't go with it. But I have no need to go and proclaim that to the world or try to impose on the world saying, don't do this. I can proclaim it. Why would I want to proclaim it? Because I want to point to Christ. I would say, in obedience to Christ, I will not take Social Security because it's theft. And then I can give you the example and so forth. And go into the history of Social Security, which is based on the Communist Manifesto. But that's another issue. But, if I do that, if I'm taking this, which I would claim would be a guidance based on love, I'm casting pearls before swine. It's useless. And if I try to impose that, especially, they may come back at me forcefully. There's another example of this that's even more vivid, which was discussed today, the abortion question. Because again, I now state, and I believe I can defend this. Abortion is murder. Don't outlaw it. Very simple idea. Reason being is if you outlaw it, it requires a state to do that. The Lord outlaws it. The Lord outlaws murder. I don't have to add another law to say, well, the Lord said, do not murder, so therefore do... No, the Lord said it. I don't have to do it. And if I put in a system, an enforcement arm, I am rejecting the Lord, the 1 Samuel 8. So, I mean, I would suggest that's clear. And he doesn't give me any authority to rule over others. It's just not there. So, if I go and try to impose what I would claim is obedience to Christ, again, it's more than Psalm 139. It's a Genesis 1, be fruitful and multiply. And that gets me in trouble in the Christian community because they don't want to hear that. A lot of people simply don't want to hear that. But if I do that or just simply try to regulate abortion, they may not, do not, nor cast your pearls before the pigs that they may not trample them among your feet, having turned, it may tear you apart. Having turned, in other words, if I go to the world and say, don't commit abortion, and especially try to regulate them, they may turn on me and tear me apart. Does this happen? Why, yes, it does. You may have seen this many times in, you know, at events, especially pro-life rallies and whatnot. It happens. So what we're seeing here, I would suggest, is a consistent message in the sense that we are called to, we can proclaim to the world, but proclaim. But we cannot impose. But the emphasis in our proclamation is to the elect. You know, which I would suggest is consistent with the Micah 6:8, except to do judgment and love kindness and walk lowly with your God. So anyway, that was fascinating. And you see, one of the fundamental things that I'm really concerned about, what I hear when I hear, you know, because I strive to listen to a variety of people in the Christian community, and it's the come join the club, come let's evangelize the world, which again, you know, that's a misuse of the word, and or let's do things like outlaw abortion or work towards this, that, or the other. Let's not organize, but individually encourage one another and walk lowly or humbly with our God. Be a mutual blessing. Encourage and challenge each other. No, we don't want to do that. We want to be part of a group. Yeah. No, I want to trust in my Creator. When I put a group, when I become part of a group, part of a collective, my allegiance shifts from my Lord to the collective, partially. Why should I do that? Why should I have a divided allegiance? When it's the state, I put an authority over me. You shall have no other gods before me. That what I would suggest is saying, well, no, Lord, that's not what it means. No. We worship you on Sundays. We'll worship the state on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And only for an hour on Sunday we'll worship you. But that's, you know, because and most of our time we're going to be spent with we got to get to the restaurant to beat the Baptists. Anyway. Anyway. So, one other thing. I have a daughter named Susanna. She's a teenage girl now, about to or has graduated high school. I know nothing about her. I sent her a postcard, and that was the one that came back. One day, you might see the photos of all the cards sent you and refused. Keep in mind Matthew 5:44. Offer grace. Love, Dad. I actually sent this to all my kids. One at a time, and they've all come back. The images are online, including the returned images, so it's quite clear. These are stamped. Refused. Returned to sender. This is an act in violation of Tennessee law, whatever it is that I have quoted. So this was done illegally, because the law states that these things should not be censored to my kids. My wife is in violation of man's law, as well as God's law. So again, she's consistent. But I'm quite convinced to take them and simply throw them in the trash, which she may have done previously, would have been in violation of man's law. But I wouldn't have known. To refuse them means I know. This is an act of hate. Bless those who persecute you. Especially because the woman who's responsible for sending those back, I don't know if she's made some arrangements to have it done automatically. Maybe she has. Maybe she does it individually. I don't know. I see. It's unambiguous. She's showing me hate. I'm not going to respond in kind. I'm going to respond in love. Because I do love that lady. I will not turn from her. I made a commitment. My life is for her and her alone. And because I state that, because I offer so much evidence about this, in essence, I put up a bigger wall. Because now for her to say, okay, let's reconcile. She has put up so many walls, it's ridiculous. Plus the legal documents and so forth. And, 10 years of isolation. The fact that this is a voicemail number, 1400 and whatever, that's... She's put up huge walls. But I'll make her this promise, because I did promise to love her all of my days, and I love her today. Whatever I can do to make that process easier, to take the weight of this away, not to hide it, but to take it away, to pay for it. Hiding it doesn't pay for it. It's, taking the dust and sweeping it under the carpet. The dust is still there. So hiding it doesn't work. I've quoted, I think at least 30 years. 1 John 1:9. If we rationalize our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to, No, we don't rationalize our sins. We confess them. There are a number of things I would love to tell my lady about what I have done, haven't done, where I've gone wrong. I've had, there's been sin in my life. But my love for her, my commitment to her, has remained rock solid. It's her and her alone. So whatever I can do to make that process easier, to take some of the weight off of her striving to reconcile with me, I'll do whatever I can. Everything I can do that's in obedience to Christ, I will do the loving thing. I will not lie. I will seek reconciliation. And, you know, part of the point of that postcard to Susanna, which also went to Glory Jane, to Walter, Zadok, and George, is, and as I mentioned yesterday, hopefully I'll get some DVDs out, sooner or later, one of my kids will see this and say, this is not the story I've heard about what happened with Dad. I'm hearing now, I'm seeing now, that for 10 years, the dad was trying, especially when it's my dad, was trying to reconcile the family. This is going to be very hurtful to my wife. Extremely hurtful to my wife if one of my kids goes to her, why didn't you reconcile with Dad? He tried. Why did you hate him? That's going to be really hard. It's going to be really, really hard. So before that happens, it is my hope and prayer, my request, my desire, that my wife will open the door with me to communicate, to reconcile. I'm not giving up. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, I am your husband. I'm keeping the promise. I love you, and I want you back.